At the Playmakers Network, sports are more than games. They're a community. From basketball and college football to professional wrestling and Rams football, our shows keep fans informed, entertained, and connected. Watch live, listen on your favorite podcast platform, and join the conversation. The Playmakers Network. Sports, community, conversation. Welcome to Shooting Lights Out here on this Monday, the final Monday of the month of June. Mr. Johnson, July will be here in just less than 2 days.
Half of 2026 has gone bye-bye. Wow. It's been, for me, it's been one crazy year already. And if 2026 wrapped up, I'd say I lived about 10 years in one. And that's just in 6 months' time.
That's how you feel?
Oh, yes. I feel I've lived 10 years in 6 months. Yes, I that is exactly how I feel.
I know you felt like that. Yeah, it went there. Anyway, welcome to Shooting Lights Out here as a week that we thought coming in wasn't going to be much turned into a whole lot. We thought we were going to have like an easy week. NBA and WNBA said, not so fast, you two. We'll give you some stuff to talk about. So, NBA decided, outside of having a draft, they wanted to do trades all over the place. We'll discuss that. And then the WNBA, the weekend. The weekend has some storylines, and then obviously a major figure was in the headlines all week long. But I'm the playmaker down there, Silent Stills. You who are new tuning into Shooting Lights Out, that right there to my right is one, the EP of all EPs, Mr. Cole Johnson. And welcome to the Shooting Lights Out program, your weekly deep shot into hoops culture. Anything you want to say, Mr. Johnson, before we get started?
Well, it's a pleasure to always do this alongside you, sir. It's great to actually talk basketball in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And I will say, you know, we thank all of you who are watching us on the Playmakers Network YouTube channel. We thank you for those who are watching us on the Playmakers LinkedIn channel page. And we thank you for listening to us on so many different platforms like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Prime, and Real Wise Radio, because we come to you live from there, as we do also from YouTube and LinkedIn and et cetera, and a cashmere sweater. Now, from us, what is the question of the episode for you? What was the biggest basketball story of this week? Was it Giannis to Miami? Was it the 2026 NBA draft? Was it the weekend that transpired in the W? Or has it been the Golden Goose? Oh, I'm sorry, Caitlin Clark discussion. Comment below this video. And if you haven't, be a friend if you're on the YouTube channel. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel, and you will get all things updating, not just from Shooting Lights Out, but anything that emanates from the Playmakers Network YouTube channel family.
All right. So the first order of business.
And we're also sponsored by Fanatics and Lids and Paramount Plus and all of that as well. You'll see that in the commercials that will play in this episode. I'm sorry, sir.
And so the first order of business is
The Price is Right. No. Pressure Luck. No. Man, see, this is what
I actually like Pressure Luck. I actually like that game show, by the way.
I do too. See, this is what happens, Playmaker. When you get older, the brain just wants to just throw monkey wrenches in your purview, and you hate it when it happens. Oh yeah, around the hardwood. And what's on tap, sir?
As we go to Around the Hardwood, Mr. Johnson, I told you before we came on the show that I got you covered, right?
Yes,
I did. Here you go.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, let's start with the trade that we talked about was going to happen within 24 hours in last week's episode. And it did happen within 24 hours of airing a broadcast. That would be Giannis Antetokounmpo, who now he has done like LeBron James did 16 years prior. He has taken his talents to South Beach. Now, this blockbuster move, it changes the balance of power in the Eastern Conference. It makes the Bucks even worse than they already were. And it is really the move that defined the offseason. And there's been talk for, at least a couple of years of Giannis moving somewhere, itching to go to a contender, or wanting to leave and not wanting to leave, Milwaukee because he wanted to forever be known as a Buck. Well, time has come today where Giannis is no longer a Buck. Now he's a Heat. And we shall see if this makes the Heat better or makes them the number 8, number 9, number 10 seed that they have been the last 5 years. And that's even with Hemi on the squad. Now, another big move would be LaMelo Ball. No, not Lonzo, not D'Angelo. LaMelo Ball. He was of the Hornets. Now he's with the Timberwolves. And they added the Timberwolves, this all-star caliber point guard, fundamentally changing its roster construction. Now, I know of a friend who lives in the Twin Cities. He hated that they had to give up Nasir Reed. He hated it because it was like, that's the fan favorite. You know, that's the one that we didn't want to see go, and now he's gone. But in his stead, you got LaMelo, and I think this will probably make Anthony Edwards smile. Well, no. Yeah, I'll say. I think this will make Anthony Edwards smile. He won't have the total responsibility of bringing the ball up the court all the time to settle in or settle down the team. I think this will put a smile on his face. No. Now, paying that whole 18 years of child support, that put a smile on his face.
You just had to go there.
I had to find a way to slip that in there.
Why? That is not significant.
It is. Anthony Edwards with a smile on his face. I mean, the only thing that brings a smile on his face is just plowing through juice boxes and not being responsible for the children that pop out of them. I mean,
was he smiling at the game 6?
Well, he was when he was shaking the Spurs' hands. Was he not? 8 minutes to go in game six, conference semifinals. He was dapping every spur up, smiling.
Was he really smiling or he was just, you know, putting on a good face because it was on
TV? Well, yeah. Of course, the competitor in him didn't like the result. I mean, his team was getting boat raced after they had a chance to actually take the series. And they pretty much screwed the pooch in game five and basically waved away for like in game six. So hopefully this will help him, all seriousness. Hopefully this move will help him more than anybody. And so he actually can be free to go about and do what he pleases. And this move, it sort of smells of what they saw with the current defending world champs Knicks, where you had someone who can be ball dominant in Jalen Brunson, who is the best offensive player on the team. But they noticed that when he had the ball, the offense seemed to be bogged down. But when he played off the ball, and they actually made Karl Anthony Towns basically a point center, the fluidity of offense returned. So we might be seeing that. And hopefully with LaMelo, he can bring a bit more of a flow to a dynamic but stop and start type of offense that the Timberwolves have had pretty much ever since the rise of Anthony Edwards. And well, then
before they did that trade, they did a different trade beforehand. Take it away, Mr. Johnson.
Well, then there is this trade. Mr. He's Going Left, a.k.a. Julius Randle. Now, this trade involved a multi-time All-Star who also set off additional roster changes around the league. And I think the Timberwolves were sick of having him be Houdini and have disappearing acts in this year's playoffs. Mr. Randle, you only had one mission in this playoff season, and that was to be the Robin to Anthony Edwards' Batman, and you disappeared a whole lot more often than you appeared. Now, you seem to do okay. Not great, but okay in the first round against the Nuggets. But when the Spurs got a hold of you, you didn't do you didn't do jack. Well, now he is a Brooklyn Net, where he now will go in basketball obscurity. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm so sorry, Julius.
No, you're not.
I am. I'm shedding some tear in my eye. Come on, cry. No, it's not happening.
Exactly. You don't feel sorry for him.
No, I don't. Because he brought this on himself. He was supposed to be the number two guy on the Timberwolves, had it outlined in the playoffs. And after the first round, you didn't see him. Like, and then in the first round, you had other players off the bench who actually were contributing a whole lot more than Randle. I'm like, oh yeah, his time is done as a Timberwolf. And that's a shame because he could have rode this wave with Edwards for a good amount of time. But no, he decided to disappear, and now he has fully disappeared from the Twin Cities. He now has gone to Gotham, where he plays at the home of the New York Liberty.
You said that on purpose.
Yes, I did.
You said that on purpose to get to me.
Yes, I did. You look at it and say Brooklyn. Yes, I did.
See? He did this on purpose because he know in a certain segment of this show that team's going to come back up. See, he did this on purpose.
Of course he did this on purpose.
He trying to get to me already instead of just going with the flow. He want to get to me already.
I'm going with the flow. This is brilliance here. Now, what do we have to say about the New York Liberty? Find out later in the program. You see, professional.
You didn't have to bring up my team. You could have left my team out of it. Okay, you didn't have to bring them up.
Why so salty? Don't be salty.
See, you already started. See, you already started.
I am not starting anything.
Instead of just waiting and being patient, you want to go ahead and jump the gun.
I am not starting a thing. See? I am not starting anything.
See, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens. This is what happens when you don't understand the word patience.
You are talking to the man who is the most patient human being you've ever met in your entire life.
When it comes to doing shows with you, you're not. You like
jumping. That is what you call a tease. I mean, come on.
You do not need to tease me at this moment in time.
We have dated women in our lives. They give us a portent of things to come. That's called a tease. That's what I just did.
You don't tease. Don't no. You don't tease me. That's not what you don't do. See, you did it on purpose, and I know why you did it on purpose.
Ain't oh no yes,
darn,
I, oh,
there wasn't no darn tease. He's over here trying to instigate a reaction out of me. That's what he's trying to do.
I am not doing any such thing.
See, that's why I don't understand why I call him the evil scientist. Because it's the evil side of him that wants to start something with me already. Without knowing the rundown of the show, he knows what's going on with my team. So he wanted to throw some shots at me right at the gate instead of going with the phone.
I am not throwing any shots at you. All I said was Julius Randle's getting traded to the home of the New York Liberty. That's all I said.
And speaking of which, Miss, I'll let you take this.
And speaking of New York Liberty, one of the, of course, along with Playmaker, one of the biggest fans of the Liberty, and of course, fans of the world champion New York Knicks, one Mr. Dre Day of Sports Way with Dre Day podcast. He says, "What's up, my guys? What's up with you, bro? Look, the commentary you talked about what we have been hearing about everything on point, brother, on point. I loved everything you had to say about that particular subject."
Everything. Dre, feel free to go ahead and drop your thoughts on the WNBA. I don't care what it is. Whatever you want to put in the chat, go ahead and put it in the chat. We will get to them.
Yes, please.
All right, trade. First and foremost, Timberwolves fans, they heard Julius Randle got traded during the draft. Yay! No more Julius Randle. Woo! All right. Now we can get some Madman some help. Some real help. And then what other trade happened, sir?
Well, I mean, LaBella Ball becomes a Timberwolf, and they had to say bye-bye to Nassim Reed.
No!
Which for those who are unaware, Nassim Reed is considered the fan favorite of the Timberwolves. I mean, Timberwolves fan will tell you that their favorite player is him. And now he's gone. Now he is a Hornet. And so, it is unfortunate.
Matter of fact, let me illustrate it for y'all real quick. Cole Johnson. Julius Randle getting traded?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's get some help, real help. Get that disappearing act fool out of here.
LaMelo Ball gets traded for Nazaire Reed.
What? Nip. Fire all of the executive staff for the Timberwolves.
That's pretty much how that went.
Look at you.
That's pretty much how that went.
Yeah,
and then the big trade was a surprise to nobody.
It was
Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis go to South Beach. A lot of draft picks. And the one star that Mr. Cole Johnson was thinking about, Tyler Hero, goes to Milwaukee.
I had a feeling he was going to go. I was like, it wasn't going to be Bam. It's probably going to be Tyler Hero. And this might be good for him. I mean, he gets a change of scenery, and he now will be able to become probably the number one player there. So we'll see if that works out for him.
Now, This does not shape the East whatsoever.
I don't think it does. I mean,
they don't have a point guard. They don't have a ball handler.
That's the Heat. What were the Bucks when they had Giannis last year or this past year? Exactly. So
I don't even think he paid half the season, to be honest.
Right. So this is contingent on if Giannis is healthy, and if Giannis is healthy like his championship season from 5 years back. But if they're getting the Giannis of last year, that means the Heat are going to run out of heat.
So, Pat Riley, we need you to make some more moves. We know you're the godfather of the NBA, but you still got to make some moves there. And I think you know that.
Yeah, Pat. Make them offers they can't refuse.
Minnesota, y'all front court is terrible right now. Back court! Woo!
Do they even have a serviceable backcourt? I mean, front court?
They still got Rudy Gobert, so.
Okay, I'll ask that question again. Do they even have a serviceable front court? The man
is a four-time defensive player of the year, okay?
The dude decides to score once a year.
He's not there to score. He's there to be a defensive player of the year. That's what he's there for.
He may not be there to score, but doggone, you can give him. Dennis Rodman gave you 10.
And remember, we was on this program. I don't know if you might have forgot. He was doing his job against
against Victor Wembanyama. I'm not saying he didn't do his job. What I'm saying, though, is for the Timberwolves to go where they want to go, and they don't want to just simply be Western Conference semifinalists. They want to be in the championship. To do that, Gobert needs to be a little bit more offensively solvent. I mean, it's all cute that he can pull down 10, 11 boards and block two shots a game. That's great. But they need to find points elsewhere besides LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards.
Well, at this point in his career, I think it's too late for that.
And that's why I say, where is the serviceable front court for the Timberwolves?
Like I said, you got your rim protector. That's about it.
I mean, that's what they got. Rim protector, a good point guard, a really good point guard, because I got to give LaMelo Ball credit. He actually has become a really good all-around point guard. So you got a rim protector, you got a solid point guard, and you got your best player who you don't need to be both your best player and your point guard. They got to build more.
Yeah, I got more to do. And based on what OKC did last week, yeah, they sent the message. But we'll talk about that in a few. It won't be long. We'll talk about that in a few. Speaking of which, more news from the NBA, Mr. Johnson.
All right, so
this one was a surprise.
All right, so we'll touch on the one that is closest to Playmaker's heart last. Isaiah Stewart.
Let's go in order. Okay.
Well, Isaiah Stewart, well, he now is a Grizzly. They add the front court depth behind Zach Edey. Of course, if you don't know, the dude is like a fine, I'll say it. Sasquatch. Sending three future second round picks to Detroit. And I didn't expect that either.
That was a surprising move from Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And judging by my social calendar, I might be in Detroit in August. But that's neither here nor there. Aaron Wiggins, he now is going butt from the Thunder to the Hawks. And the Thunder get two future second round draft picks. And the Thunder does it again.
And they're not done. They were not done.
The Thunder does it again. Isaiah Joe, not to be confused with, I'm not going to go there. He is a Piston. And now the backcourt, along with Cade Cunningham, is shored up. Sending two future second round draft picks to where? OKC. There they go, stacking draft picks again. Now, we have also have Miles Bridges, who went from they're already picking the bones. Anyway, I'm sorry. Miles Bridges, he got traded to the Suns. The Hornets received Grayson Allen, the white thug himself. Royce O'Neal in an unprotected 2033 first round draft pick.
Hey man, that man has gone two seasons being clean. Okay, can we move on?
Well, I'm just saying the truth.
That man has gone two seasons without any antics. He's been just playing ball.
Fine. So he's been 2 years clean. Anyway, teams continue to make moves around the league with the margins, I should say, and the offseason heats up. Here's where part of that offseason heated up. Jonathan Isaac, unfortunately, he no longer is a Magic. They part ways with the forward, creating a roster and salary cap flexibility.
I don't know why you say this last, because it's not really big news.
I
don't know what's going on. We're gonna go ahead. This is not big news. Man, they haven't played. Speaking of 2 years, you haven't played for us in 2 years.
That's why I did that. So I figured you had something a little extra that ain't on the page that you could say.
And still, he's not a big thing, unfortunately. If he didn't have injuries to his lower half, it would be something. But you ain't done with the OKC Thunder, sir.
Oh, they made more moves. Of course they did, because it's the draft. They didn't win a championship. And that means that Sean Presti has to stockpile draft picks.
You still ain't done. It's still another box that you ain't touch, is what I'm saying.
Yes. The other moves that the Thunder made. So you have Aaron Wiggins. Now he's a Hawk. You have, of course, the Isaiah Joe trade we said earlier. We also have the re-signing of Isaiah Hartenstein. Isaiah Hartenstein.
Why are you saying
that? Isaiah Hartenstein.
Why you said it like that? What's wrong with that?
Lord have mercy.
What's wrong with that? And just saying, Hartenstein ain't going nowhere.
So yeah, so they resigned. They resigned Hartenstein to a 3-year deal, and they're praying that he could actually pick up more of the slack that Chet Holmgren left. Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, I did. The Thunder, they continue to shape their roster since they gave up their defending world championship title. So we got to say goodbye to Wiggins and goodbye to Joe. And they're doing it for future assets. 4 second round draft picks in the future.
That was the offseason of the NBA to the draft from the NBA. And now I'll take over this one. As y'all know, the first 4 picks was not surprising whatsoever. AJ DeBonsa goes #1 overall to the Washington Wizards. Smart pick, Washington. Good job with being smart. Good job.
I agree with that.
After that, the Utah Jazz take Darren Peterson #2. Cameron Boozer goes to the Grizzlies, and then Caleb Wilson falls to the Chicago Bulls. Anything from the first 4, sir?
Is Darren Peterson really going to do much of anything for the Jazz?
Who knows?
I say that because I know they need a lot of help, but I would think the Jazz would lead with the defense instead of the offense, but who knows?
We knew the first four people was going to be these four people, so. Each of the four. Washington, Utah, Memphis, and Chicago, great job. You didn't make it complicated. You didn't try to do, what's the word I'm looking for? You didn't try to do smoke and mirrors. You just said, all right, Washington, you pick who you pick. We're going to pick who we pick. And then Memphis and Chicago want to follow suit.
You didn't go with the best fit for the team. You actually did choose best player on the board.
So I have no qualms. Really what you're supposed to do. I have no qualms with the first four.
I don't either. And with football, you can sort of get away a little bit more with, okay, what's a better fit for the team? Because there's more roster spots. Similar with baseball, but not too much. But in sports like hockey and basketball with less players, you have to get the best player on the board. And kudos to the top four teams. Kudos to the Wizards, Jazz, Grizzlies, and Bulls. You pick the best players on the board.
And then you see 5 through 13. And speaking of 5 through 13, Mr. Johnson, The pick of the draft for me, Jetson Lindenbaum going to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I thought that was the one for me too. Because I was interested to see where he was going to go. And I got to give the credit to the Warriors. They did their thing. They found a jewel in the draft, and they still now with Curry in the twilight of his career, and Draymond Green now he can't be so much of a thug because he's not being a Rockette anymore. They need to have a good stalwart guide on post to say, all right, this is how life after Curry is going to look.
You bring in a national champion, a leader of the national champion, Michigan Wolverines at that.
Yeah, and I think this is a good beginning as to doing that.
And a guy who can step outside if you ask him to. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a great pick by the Golden State. Me and my brother watched that. I was like, Golden State. All right, Golden State. That's the best pick of the draft for me. Lexington Lindenbaum going to the Golden State Warriors, the best pick of the draft for me. But Mr. Johnson, that ain't the statement of the draft. I'll let you take the statement of the draft.
All right. Well, what did the Thunder do? They make a statement. Ademara, he now is a Thunder. And you say that they're building for the future. It looks like to me the Thunder is saying, yeah, we're building for the future, but that future also is now.
I didn't go that far. I went straight to OKC said not again.
Well, that too.
That's what they said, not again. And people was mad when I put on the post. Chuck Homie better be on his you know what next season. I was like, oh, they ain't gonna do the trade, Hogan. Well, guess what? Hartenstein is on a 3-year deal.
That's why I say the future might also be now. Meaning, they won't be afraid to probably move pieces.
I don't care what y'all say about Chet Holmgren and all this. When you get pumped in the Western Conference semifinals by a guy that everybody knows can't stand your butt, problem.
No. Western Conference Finals.
I said Western Conference Finals.
You said semifinals.
I said Western Conference Finals.
You said Western Conference Semifinals.
No, I didn't.
Because there was no punk in Western Conference Semifinals. They put LeBron James on there and sent him home.
As a matter of fact, he didn't even do nothing in that series, now that you brought it up. It was, let me think.
Well, I mean,
oh, it was AJ Mitchell.
I mean, I mean, look, SGA didn't do much in that series, but he didn't have to.
OKC said, okay, if we got to deal with San Antonio, we're going to have the people to deal with them. And Chet, you better be on your next year. Because if you ain't, what you do in the regular season don't matter when it comes to postseason.
Nope.
If you come alive beating the postseason, that is a problem. And guess who's allowed to beat in the postseason? Chet Hungry. Now, you probably can say, well, they ain't had Jalen Wilson most of the way. They ain't had Jalen Wilson most of the season anyway. And then it didn't help when you lost A.J. Mitchell. But Chet Holmgren was supposed to be that other guy. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And he has disappointed thus far. So this year was supposed to be where, yeah, you so you got the ring. But he was supposed to, this year was supposed to be the year where SGA could say, that is my number, that is my number two. That's that, you know, that is my Scottie Pippen. It was supposed to be that this year for him, and Holmgren vastly disappointed. And you're right. He came up smaller than mini me against Victor Wembanyama, got punked out against that dude. Punked! You can't do that.
So they grout the actual big man from Michigan, a reigning champion in college.
Smart move.
Who can actually match up with Victor Wembanyama? Mm-hmm. Since Chet can't do it, we're going to have somebody else do it. How about that? Unless Chet want to go set a pair and start fighting back.
You can't.
That's how that goes. So, yeah. When OKC made that pick, I was like, ooh. Yeah, they say not again. What happened? That happened this past season is not going to happen again. That's what you call a team not sitting on their morals.
Laurels, but yes. They're like, okay, so yeah, we got the chip from 2025. We want more chips. We're not just satisfied being like how the last eight champions have been in the NBA. We got the ring. We ain't doing nothing the next year or any of the years subsequent of that one. They come from that number one spot, and they now know they got to deal with the Spurs.
Nice pick. Good pick. Sam Presti, good pick. Very good pick.
Presti is the best executive in the NBA right now. I mean, the dude, he's resembling Jerry West-like stuff. This is some Jerry West stuff. Jerry West and in before him, Red Auerbach stuff, where they just pull rabbits out of hats, where it's like, how are they still – how do you end up with talent like that? How did you scope and find this talent out? We're beginning to say that more and more often about Sam Presti.
So there you go. That is our recap for the NBA draft, and that will conclude. All right, all right. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, a moment where Coach Johnson can laugh. Just laugh, 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 and laugh.
The action doesn't stop when the game ends. With Paramount Plus, stream live sports, hit originals, blockbuster movies, and your favorite shows all in one place. From championship moments to must-watch entertainment, Paramount Plus has something for everyone. Start streaming today with Paramount Plus. Available through the Playmakers Network.
Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying but this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
Big game today. Don't spend it in the kitchen. Community delivers fresh, chef-crafted meals straight to your door so you can spend less time cooking and more time enjoying the action. Whether it's football season, basketball season, or fight night, Community has you covered. Fill your day with Community. Get started today through the Playmakers Network.
Welcome back to Shooting Lights Out and freshly cut meals from world-known chefs. You can get all that with Cookunity. 50% off on your first week's order. That is Cookunity. That's it. The link in the description on the Cookunity. Enjoy 50% off on freshly cooked meals. Before we move on to our next subject, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins has reached a three-year deal. That's worth $64 million to stay with the Miami Heat.
I'm sorry, Wiggins.
Wiggins, he the one chose to sign it.
That's what I'm
saying. Sorry to him.
And because I don't think he's going to get the bang for the buck.
Zach LaVine picked up his $49 million option to stay with the Kings. DeAndre Ayton opts in to stay with the Lakers. Marcus Smart declines, making him a free agent. Speaking of declining options, Bradley Beal declined his option, making him a free agent, so he's not with the Clippers as of right now.
Smart, Marcus Smart. Get away from the Lakers.
Somebody's planning an NBA return. Can you guess who it is?
Serena Williams. Oh, no, you said NBA, not tennis. Sorry.
Even though she's playing tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. It's Wimbledon. I'm bad. Let me see. LeBron James for his 25th season.
Actually, I'm going to get to LeBron James in a minute, but no.
Okay. Let me see. Carmelo Anthony.
Think of somebody that you miss right about now.
Okay, well, it ain't James Harden. Let me see. Somebody that I miss. Well, not Klay Thompson. I would have said Jason Tatum, but he actually came back during the season. Kawhi Leonard.
No. I got Kawhi Leonard news too, but you know.
Let me see. Stephen Curry? No, he played.
Ben Simmons.
Oh, you can end the show right now. So the authorities finally found them.
Ben Simmons planning for an NBA return after a year out.
Son, go back. Retire, son, retire.
Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, there have been trade talks from the Clippers with the Toronto Raptors.
Why?
About Kawhi Leonard.
All right, so Raptors, let's get this straight. You're not going to get him from 7 years ago. I mean, did the dude even play 40 games this past season?
That's a good question.
I mean, this dude is often injured and he's getting older and he's getting worse and worse by the year. Why do you want him back in Toronto, Raptors? Why?
That's Kawhi Leonard's preferred. He can't stay with the Clippers. He want to go back to Toronto.
Well, son, you should not have left Toronto in the first place.
And the news to be waited on is the news that Cody Johnson has been waiting for a very long time.
James Harden retiring.
No. This is better than that. Way better than that.
Oh, what's better than that?
So Draymond Green declined his $27.6 million player option, which makes him a free agent.
Right.
In doing so, the Golden State Warriors are planning a pursuit of
Anthony Davis
via trade and LeBron James.
We need to see it. LeBron James to the Warriors. We need to see it.
This is from ESPN, so.
Well, to a certain fellow, and look, I love you, brother, but to a certain fellow, think about it. You get to root on your favorite team. You get to see Curry chunk up threes. You get to see Anthony Davis play one game and be injured for three or four. And then you get to hear the hype of LeBron James. And then you get to see many of these bronze sexual clowns wear Warrior uniforms. Isn't that going to be great? LeBron James to the Warriors. We need to see it.
Whoa! Snowman gonna kill me for giving that to you.
Why? Why would he? Why would he do such a thing?
Oh boy. But yeah. I had to go on ESPN and say, what's other news that's popping up around here? I'm like, oh Lord. I like, if I don't get it out here now, Coach John's gonna be mad because he ain't had the opportunity to say anything.
Oh my gosh.
All right, that's it for the NBA. Cause now we're gonna flip the script to the WNBA. So let's run the fast break.
That this guy is shown. Let me shut up.
Kings off the steal.
Rebound by Adams, his sixth. Moran blows by Primo. Attack.
And as we run the fast break today, for those of you who are running, and Dre, if you're still watching, here we go. Hey, y'all want to know why he was teasing me earlier? This is why.
Here we go. The New York Liberty, they decided to go to the Yay Area. Not in Los Angeles, the Yay Area. To face off against the Valkyries. And what was that? 76-67 was the final score. The Liberty just simply could not get on track. They just simply did not have it on offense, except for Jonquel Jones. But they just simply didn't have it on offense. And the Valkyries just had their way for the first three quarters. Caleb Charles gave you 13 points and two boards. And the Valkyries held the Liberty to 29 points the first half, along with the season low of 67 in the game. This was a wonderful defensive masterpiece that was put on display on Sunday night. And you had three other Valkyries joining Caleb Charles, scoring in double figures. But I mean, it's Jonquel Jones for a losing effort, though. 21 points, 7 boards, and 2 dimes. But your thoughts, sir, on the Liberty, I guess you could say the worst offensive performance of the year thus far for them, and definitely the worst half.
I could go into stats. I could say, Mr. Johnson, this is what we did Sunday night. This is what Rockery did Sunday night. But you know what? F the stats.
Oh, I'm smelling a fragrant foul coming. A flagrant foul.
F the stats. F the numbers. For some reason, the Golden State Warriors just know how to lock us down. They just know how to lock us down. I don't know what it is. They just know how to lock us down. Every time we play the Golden State Warriors, we get locked down. It don't make no sense how great they are good at locking us down. Now, some of the lockdowns is because Breonna Stewart, can you make a freaking layup? You blew like 5 layups last night.
Not a layup request.
Do you want to join the New York Liberty group and see for yourself what was going on last night?
I don't think I have to, sir.
Last week, I had to get on her foot because she's the reason why who left the door open for LA Sparks. Mm-hmm. And Nneka Ogumike hit the game winning 3. Last night, we can't make freaking layups. Mr. Johnson, do you see this? We have not scored 20 points in a single quarter against the Valkyries. 20 points!
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the Valkyries are the Liberty's kryptonite when it comes to offense.
They be straight locking us up. I don't understand. And the crazy part is, here's the funny thing. Guess what? We shot from the field. We shot 40% from the field.
Decent. Okay.
But we only can put up 67 points.
So that tells me decent from the field. Not good or great, but decent. Decent from the field. And 67 points. That smells to me of lack of offensive boards.
We shot 36% from 3-point range last night.
Yeah, that's what it says to me. One shot, and if you don't make that one shot, the Valkyries get the board. Yeah, lack of offensive boards. That's what that tells me.
We were out-rebounded 30-24. Mm-hmm. We had 12 turnovers to their 8.
And see, then the turnovers is not that bad. 12, that's probably, 12 is probably the maximum I would accept in saying, yeah, that was a decent game. Not a great game, but a decent game. So the turnovers weren't really high. That's what I thought. They got out rebounded, and they probably got cleaned on the offensive boards Friday because the Valkyries did a great job in limiting them to one shot every possession.
Let me take you back to a month ago. Let's go back to May 21st. Guess how many points we scored against them? And this was in Brooklyn, by the way.
What, 69?
We scored 70.
70. So I was about to say, I knew it was either 69 or 70, but yeah.
And they scored 87.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter, 15 points. Second quarter, 19 points. Third quarter, 12 points.
Mm. Yeah,
Fourth quarter, we tied with them with 24 points. 8 damn quarters, only one time we scored over 20 points.
Yeah, the Valkyries are the Liberty kryptonite on offense. That's all I could say about that.
They be locking our asses down. It don't make no sense. They're straight locking us down. And guess what? And back in that game, maybe we shot 42% from the field.
Hmm.
out of both games, Mr. Johnson, guess the percentage of the New York Liberty leading the Golden State Valkyries.
What would that be, sir?
1%. Because guess what? We didn't lead in this game last night at all. Mm. You know what? Also, that doesn't help on a serious note, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Satu Sabri is out indefinitely because he's in concussion protocol.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
I just don't understand. By the way, once we finish with this segment here, we're going to take a break and we're going to drop some breaking news. But here you go. Speaking of my fellow Liberty fan.
Yeah, Dre in the chat, he says, look, Liberty's looking like a one and done team right now. And for those who don't know, one and done is basically they'll get to the playoffs and in that first round, they'll bow out. That's what he means by one and done.
I know we want to go at Chris DeMarcus and all that, but Coach Johnson, he can tell you about how I am with new coaches and my coaching rule.
Yeah, you need to have, and I agree with you. You need to give them time to have their philosophy take shape and take hold. So if you do have bumps like this, and look, 12-8 for his first season is not that bad considering it's his first year. However, the flip side of that is the talent you have in 20 games, you only manage 12 wins. No, they're great, but that's not on him, I don't think.
He's coaching New York. Just call him what it is. He's coaching New York.
Well, yeah.
It's different.
He's coaching in a pressure cooker area. I mean, there really isn't another place. Seriously, there isn't another place on the planet, at least on the sports planet, where coaching gets put under such a profound microscope as with New York. Now, you could say, well, I mean, in the NBA, the Celtics and the Lakers are pressure cooker positions. Yeah, they are, but look how much talk was done with the Knicks and the coaches that didn't get the job done before Mike Brown did. So, coach of New York is something, and they're looked at in a way that coaches almost everywhere else does not.
Yeah, so do me a favor, exit out and come back in, because I don't think your internet is catching up.
The internet.
So yeah. 12-8 are the New York Liberty, and Golden State Warriors go to 13-7, which tells you both teams came into this game 12-7. This is a problem. Even though I'm going to give Chris DeMarcus time, unlike some people, to figure it out. But right now, it's not looking good. Even though we're 12-8. Do 20 games. We're almost at the halfway point in the season. And we have 20 games in, and we have 12 wins, okay? So, I'm not going to go overboard yet. Probably going to go overboard even next year either, because, you know, after he got a illness, but I want to see if he learned anything and whatnot. I give coaches at least 3 years, okay? 3 years after the third year, I should see a direction where the team is going. If it's a good thing, we in the right spot. If it was a bad thing, okay, we now need to move on. That's just me. Everybody else is different. I like to give coaches 3 years because it takes time before the philosophy and the system to all come together with the players and the coaches. Okay? That's just me. All right? But yes, back-to-back Sunday night primetime games, and we lost both of them. But somehow, some way, in the middle, we end up beating the Las Vegas Aces. As a matter of fact, we end up smacking the Las Vegas Aces, which is very surprising. But this is how that went. All right, so that is the game of the week recap. To the quick hits, Mr. Johnson.
All right. So on Saturday, you had the Fever catching one, or I should say giving some, to the Sparks, putting them down and dimming the Sparks, 111-87. Kessie Milcher went for 26 as the Fever beat the Sparks down and did so without the Golden Goose. Then on Sunday, oh, those who don't know, Golden Goose is Caitlin Clark. And then on Sunday, we had a barn burner between the Mystics and the Fire. The Mystics
You say that last.
Oh no! I ain't saving that for last.
You say that last because that's gonna get attention right there because that deserves to be talked about. I don't care about your feelings with that other team. No, you saved that last.
All right. Okay, fine. Here we go. On Sunday, Natasha Howard gave you 21 points and 14 boards. Olivia Miles gave you 21 points and 8 assists. The Lynx did what every NBA team should do and beat down the Wings. 85-77.
The Wings tried to come back.
Take them sorry suckers and beat them down. Beat them down bad.
The Wings would make it a comeback, but
that made my weekend.
Say, hold up. No, y'all cannot win this game. We own y'all, and we're going to continue to own y'all, okay? This is 3 in a row of the Lynx over the Wings this season.
I love it. That was beautiful. Oh, and then that was a full-time game between the Mystics and the Fire.
This game here was crazy. 4 overtimes. The back and forth was insane between the Fire and the Mystics. And you'll look at this game and be like, okay, it's the Mystics and the Fire. All right. Nice game. Mystics should win. Mystics should handle business. The Fire is a new expansion team. They're trying to find themselves and whatnot. DC got treated to a hell of a game. This is the second ever WNBA game to go to 4 overtimes. 4 overtimes. That is crazy. Led by Sonya St. John's with 32 points. That girl don't get enough credit. And when I say she don't get enough credit, she don't get enough spotlight. Because I guarantee you, because I think, don't every time we talk about a Mrs. game, Sonya St. John's name pops up.
Mm-hmm.
That girl, though.
Just about every time.
Yeah, Kiki Aaron Fant had 27-11 with 6 dimes. They going at it. What a game. Late, and if you didn't see them post-game, they all girls that stepped on that court were exhausted.
Well, I mean, I would too if you play a 4 overtime game.
Shout out to the Mystics. They got it done, man. And don't be looking around. The Mystics, they 9-9, but they're a team you don't want to be reckoning with when you around here trying to figure some stuff out. Yeah. I think I know who Dre is talking about.
And I believe that is in reference to the head coach of the Liberty.
Yes.
Wow, that's cold. Or I should say, he's trash. Probably would love to see Teresa Witherspoon on the sideline. Oh, yeah. She should have been our coach, talking about the Liberty. And I will continue to say that. You won't get an argument out of me on that. Whenever I think the Liberty, that's the first name I think of. It's her. And I'm surprised that she isn't a coach. on the WNBA sideline as we speak.
Hey, man, this is his first head coaching job. I'm going to give him some time. I'm not going to tell Dre to give him some time, because Dre is Dre. I'm going to give him some time, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him some time. This is his first head coaching gig, okay? He spent 13 years with the Golden State Warriors, all right? Sometimes you can't have a thing quick, fast, and a hurry. Sometimes things have to marinate and take time to cook.
Yeah. Yeah, like my chicken Alfredo. I'm sorry.
All right, now to the scoreboard suite for the rest of the weekend.
All right, so on Friday we had the Valkyries. They decided to make life hard for the Liberty. They made life hard for the Dream, beating them. The Mystics, you disappointed me. What's wrong with you? Why? The crappy Sun beat them. And the Sky, they decided to be bigger than the fire. To Saturday, and the Dream continuing the losing streak, getting beat by the Valkyries. Then they got beat by the Storm. And in that game, Flauje Johnson wanted to give a big up to Angel Reese. And Angel Reese was like,
That shouldn't even been a thing. I don't even know what's wrong with y'all. That shouldn't even been a thing. It was still 90 seconds left in the goddamn game.
I'm not tripping. I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. So this is news?
And I don't even know why. Like, Flut.
Basketball together.
Flauje, I love you, but I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that you're on a Storm and it's a terrible season, so you were just happy to get a win whatever way you can, and you were just hugging teammates. I'm like, well, I'm not hugging teammates after the win. Yeah, it's right. A regular season.
Okay, so they were college teammates. All right, fine. Flauje, you know the deal, girl. Was Angel Reese wearing your jersey? Was the jersey white or was the jersey red? It looked like her jersey was red, so that meant that pretty much you are no longer teammates with Chick. The game is still going on. It's not over. What do you expect her to do? Yeah, anyway. The Mercury wanting to actually be physical.
I won't say that. Shout out to Maria Marbury. 53 points in the last game. And then the Mercury, after what took place with a certain you know who that AT got suspended for, I think the Mercury wanted to send a message through the temple. But I got to give Maria Marbury her shout out.
Indeed.
Because she scored 63 points during the week against who that was against. I forgot who it was against. But yeah, the Mercury walked in.
Mercury beat Tempo.
The Mercury went to Toronto and felt some type of way. As they should. Mm-hmm.
And then the defending champs, they decided to show the Sky the road on Sunday.
Shout out to the Chicago Sky. Y'all made that a very entertaining game to watch. At one point, it looked like the A's was going to run y'all out the building like everybody thought. And then y'all said, nah, we're going to fight back. We're going to make this interesting. I mean, y'all made it an interesting game to watch. Shout out to the Sky for that. Mm-hmm. So shout out to y'all, by the way, Dre.
And Dre basically giving Sonia Citron her props as she deserves. He says, Sonia Citron is a dog. And yes, she is. Because we keep mentioning her name almost every week. Kiki Iriafin, she also is a doll. Also said by Dre. And he says that at Fire Mystics game, at present, that is right now the game of the year.
I don't know how you top that, to be honest. They win the four overtimes.
I don't know how you're going to top a four overtime game that was that competitive. It was extremely competitive like that. I don't know if that's going to be topped. either. And for the Liberty head coach, Dre says, he ain't getting any from me because I ain't want him in the first place, with a laughing, rolling on the floor emoji.
I didn't want him either, but guess what? The Liberty made their freaking choice. So guess what?
No,
he had to deal with it.
So we know that was said with some shade.
We have to deal with it.
With some intentional shade.
So they made their choice, so we going to see about their choice. It's 20 games in, man. Dang. It's only 20 games in. They stay in the top half of the freaking league.
Dre's like, I don't care. It ain't Teresa Weatherspoon.
And like we're in the bottom
half. Get her on the sideline.
We're in the top half.
Get that clown. 20 games in, get that clown out and put Teresa on it. Put Teresa on the sideline.
Hey, what you mean? No, but what, I think fourth in the league right now? Come on. At least we stay at the top part. Jeez. Even though we got a lot going on.
So, yeah, I was about to say, well, yeah, a lot going on. But at present, the season would end today. They have home court the first round. So there you go.
Get off that. You're off the New York Knicks championship train. And that would conclude.
I mean, the move did work.
This guy is showing. Let me shut up. James off the steal.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have breaking news.
You heard it here first.
Sometimes it's not even about the jerseys. It's the hat that sets it off. Snapbacks, fitties, truckers, whatever your style is, that's how you rep your team every day. If you're looking to upgrade your collection or find your next go-to cap, we got you covered. Hit the link in the description and shop the latest styles right now through Diggs. Every team, every style, every day. Top off your fit the right way.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
Looking for more than just a game? Paramount Plus brings you live sports, exclusive originals, blockbuster movies, and can't miss series all in one place. Watch the moments everybody is talking about anytime, anywhere. Stream more with Paramount Plus. Available through the Playmakers Network.
And welcome back to Tuning Lights Out here as we have breaking news, sir. Are you ready for the breaking news?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
And the breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, Ja Morant. The locks, the predator face, and the gun is gone from Memphis.
The Memphis Grizzlies are trading two-time NBA All-Star Ja Morant to the Portland Trail Blazers for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray, sources tell ESPN's Shum Sharanya just about 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. There you go, Mr. Johnson. Ja Morant to the Portland Trail Blazers.
The white people gonna make sure that he Oh, I shouldn't say it like that. Nah, I am going to say it like that. White people going to make sure he on straight and narrow. I knew this past year was going to be his last in Memphis. I just had that feeling. So I'm like, man, it looks like the Grizzlies are sick of him. They're sick of him. He ain't having any fun, and they ain't having any fun having him on the team. So Morant is a trailblazer.
That means they just got John Morant. They got Damian Lillard. Wow.
If they can find the chemistry, they got the talent. So now they got to find some good front court players to help them out, and they actually might become a dark horse if they play their cards right.
Did not expect that one.
I didn't either. That, my friend, is the move of the offseason.
So they have officially traded Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and now John Morant.
So they basically just bust that team up. This was supposed to be the future in Memphis. With Bane, with Brooks, with Morant. That was supposed to be the squad, and now all of them gone.
So the Grizzlies have now traded all three of their former franchise cornerstones. We just named them. Ever since being swept by the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round of the 2025 playoffs, this season that OKC won the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Once seen as having one of the league's most talented young cores, the Grizzlies end up winning just one series in four playoff appearances with the trio. So you had four seasons where you made the playoffs and you won one series.
That's a good track record.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Time to blow it up.
Oh, I think the Grizzlies did the right thing. I'm surprised it took them this long to get rid of Morant, personally.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh. The Atlanta Hawks are declining Jonathan Kuminga's $24.3 million team option, making him a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just news flying everywhere. God, dog, they just don't stop, do they?
Well, you got to remember, this is the free agent period is starting to heat up now, which it normally does right after the draft.
All right, that was your breaking news for the day. I thought we couldn't break no more news, but hey, they just don't stop. But now it's time to have a discussion.
This goes to best woman player in the world. You're talking about the word integrity? Because they don't have any. You ain't got no balls, do you? WNBA owners, you ain't got no balls, do you? Really? Really? So we should just tip our cups, throw two cubes, throw ice cubes in a small glass, and just tip the brown leg. Talk about compromising? Because they'll be compromised doing it. It's on. It's the utter blasphemy. I'm sorry about that. Professionalism. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to talk about the cash cow, the golden goose of the WNBA, Caitlin Clark. And those of you who drop to your knees, stick out your tongue, ask for her to open up her legs and you lick her juice box, she's not the best player in the game. No, sir. Not even close. So you can take that crap and out and go out of here. Because I saw some ridiculousness that said this woman is the best player in the game because she's white and she needs to be officiated better. No, she don't. Now, why is this talk so prevalent? Because it's been the talk of the week. It's because we got a chance to see the Fever and the Mercury play a couple of games. And the first of those two games, it was a little bit chippy. To the point we got a chance to see Caitlin Clark on the floor, and the Mercury's Alyssa Thomas with the fist on the neck of Caitlin Clark. Memo to you clowns. She didn't punch her.
I don't know, Cole. I mean, she had a close fist on the throat, you know. Close fist is like a punch, so I mean, she punched Caitlin Clark in the throat. Oh my gosh. How dare she punch Caitlin Clark in the throat? Why would you do such a thing?
And people are actually saying, news people are actually saying, well, Alyssa Thomas actually hit Caitlin Clark in the throat.
Bruh, you know what? Let me get on
screen. No, you get hit in the throat.
No. PBS. Why is PBS even talking about the WNBA?
PBS?
PBS.
Wow.
I saw the clip. I said, if PBS is even talking about this, what the hell is going on here?
I told you she's a cash cow.
PBS, you are for children. You're about learning. Why in the hell are you talking about WNBA?
Because we got to learn that she's the best. She's the player that makes the most money for the WNBA.
And she don't even get paid the most, you ducks.
No, she doesn't.
And she's not the best. Matter of fact, there's a Ricky I think the Twin Cities, sir, that is like making Caitlin Clark look bad right about now. Mm-hmm. But continue on, sir.
Well, thank you. And unfortunately, because of this crap and the backlash that came, the foul that was called on Ms. Thomas, it got upgraded to a flagrant 2. And now Ms. Thomas has been suspended for a game. All for a punch she did not throw. But I digress. What made me, I'm going to put this, hot, was you had the opinion of one Boomer Esiason. I'll get to what I think about him later. But he decided to weigh in on Caitlin Clark being treated unfairly and all that type of crap. And this is where it gets real ridiculous. So, on his wonderful platform, he had the nerve to opine, quote, if I were Caitlin Clark, I would seriously consider going to play overseas somewhere and get royal treatment and get real money. Close quote. He said that on the Boomer and Geo show.
Over or under, how many games Caitlin Clark last overseas?
Over or under. Caitlin Clark will probably last, I'll give her 3 games.
And the reason why I'm doing an over under for those of you who are brain dead, like Boomer Esiason, it seems to be, which is bad for me to say because I should like Boomer Esiason. Mm-hmm. If she was to go overseas, she wouldn't even, y'all talking about what's going on over here and how Caitlin Clark is appreciated over here. Mr. Johnson, matter of fact, Mr. Johnson, you tell the people what it is. It's like overseas.
If you think the play in the WNBA is physical, you have no clue. Now, people have this misnomer that the league is, that European play is open and you don't get away with foul. Mm-mm-mm. The women's play is more physical overseas than it ever has been in the United States. That's just fact. You can look for yourself. A player like Caitlin Clark that doesn't show any chutzpah, that complains about every single call? No. They would tell it, eat these fouls and shut up. And if you don't like it, give it back to us. And if you don't have the stones to give it back to us, we're going to give it, and we'll give more of this to you until you're tired and you leave the league. That is how they roll. So the co-host of Boomer and Geo, Greg Giannotti, he asked if said money from Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, like what happened with the LIV Gulf, and if that meant that's the money that she would earn. Boomer said that he did not name a specific destination. He said, quote, from somewhere, close quote, then pointed to what he called a deeper problem in the league. And this is the deeper problem inside the league he displayed. Quote, I know Caitlin makes a ton of money off the court in terms of endorsements, and rightfully so. But I think there's a petty jealousy, and she's a straight white basketball player, and she is not being treated with any sort of respect whatsoever. Close quote. Let's see if I could find three words that could describe this. Three words. Let me see. No, that's not three words. I can't believe. No, that's not three words. Oh, yeah. That's a lie! Petty jealousy. This is the same bullshit. This is the same crap that Larry Bird would receive in terms of criticism. Now, he was like, look, I'm just a basketball player. It's not this black-white crap. I'm a basketball player. And to show that I am how I am, I should want black players to defend me, not white players. He actually would say stuff like that. So he wasn't even about the color line. He was just about, I wanted to be the best player in the game. And you could say they were petty jealousies with him. And he is a straight, or was a straight white basketball player too. And you can claim he was treated with no respect, but he was. The same is true of Caitlin Clark. I have not seen preferential treatment from every other player and not her because the other players are black. And, oh, we can't have this white player dominate the league. We need to make stuff tough for her. What crap? What crap? There is no petty jealousies. Yes, she's a straight white basketball player. There's straight black basketball players. The best one in the game is a straight black basketball player in Asia Wilson. But you're not saying stuff like that about her. How there's petty jealousy directed toward her. How she's not being treated with any sort of respect. You're not saying that all year, Sison. No.
Hold on. Wait. Did you just bring up a four-time MVP?
Yes, I did.
Did you just bring up a three-time champion?
Yes, I did.
Did you bring up a two-time defensive player of the year?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I just named all the accolades that one person got and another one don't.
Mm-hmm. And the one that doesn't is Caitlin Clark. Anyway, the race framing this muddled waters of what was already a legitimate debate, which I doubt is legitimate. Look, Clark isn't the worst first white player in the WNBA. And the physicality she faces, look, it's better explained by competitive targeting of a star than buyer of identity. And look, that distinction matters because it changes the solution. It's not an answer of a culture war. It's a whistle. No, it's not that either.
You know, the funny thing is,
he's a basketball player.
You know, what the funny thing is,
what is it?
So everybody is it's the sticking point between both sides that people who, well, it's not both sides to all sides. There's like four or five different sides to all this. Those that don't like Caden Clark, those who love Caden Clark, those who I just want to see basketball, and those who can be objective and try to see it from both angles.
Right.
Straight white. That's the thing, right?
That is what a science says. Straight white basketball.
I know somebody who's on my team that is white, that is straight. And matter of fact, that's actually married, by the way. Can anybody guess who I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Sabrina Ionescu, sir?
Ding, 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 ding. 2 points for Cole Johnson.
So talk about her. Hey, she plays in your city, Esiason. You are based in New York now, right? There you go. You have a player, straight, white, and married. But you're not cutting for her like you are for Caitlin Clark.
Who can also shoot the long ball, too, by the way. I mean,
yes.
Everything that draws y'all to Caitlin Clark, same thing Sabrina can do. Mm-hmm. And actually, does it better, by the way, if you actually think about it. Interesting. Drake, back me up if I'm, let me know if I'm wrong, Drake, because I believe our girl can do the exact same thing Caitlin Clark can do, but she's not talked about.
And won't be, because guess what she's not doing? She's not drawing the money for the league the way Caitlin Clark is. And that's not her fault. That's just how the league is. Look, this is where Esiason got all this crap wrong about Caitlin Clark and why she should leave the WNBA. This overseas suggestion? No. Mm-mm. Now, WNBA players, they do play internationally during the offseason to earn extra money. That's valid. But Caitlin is a little different. There's her Nike deal. There's her Gatorade partnership. There's the State Farm sponsorship. And all of that is hinged on her marketability here. Now, playing in a league without American TV coverage, that would put all of it in risk. Did you think about that, Esiason? See, because that financial case, it would run opposite of what you are espousing. And plus, there isn't any sign that Caitlin actually wants to be gone from the league. Ever since she has been in the league, she has been the center of it. And that's been 2024. You have ratings that have shot through the roof. You have attendance that has gone so high that you now have certain teams that actually play in NBA arenas now. Wherein you still have certain teams that still play in auditoriums and college arenas and field houses. But you have certain teams play in NBA arenas, and they are actually selling out. Sponsorship revenue is going through the roof. And the WNBA is actually doing something they haven't done in the first 28 years of, well, no, first 27 years of its existence, and that is make a profit. Now, the Alyssa Thomas suspension, that's one thing. But here's a bigger issue that's left open. Caitlin also left that game with a back injury. And she's been dealing with it ever since the season has started. Now, the WNBA can't keep letting its most visible player get caught in these situations. That's obvious. And a next-day review process? Mm-mm. And this is something my brother, Playmaker, has said, and I agree with this as a sticking point. You need to protect your players, whether she's the cash cow or not, in that moment. You can't just simply sit back and say, well, we'll just go to Secaucus. We'll watch the review of this game on the next day, and then we'll make a decision on whether something was done inappropriate or not.
Mind if I cut in, sir?
Go ahead, sir.
Myself, Brian Snow, aka Snowman, my boy Drady, who's in the chat, and countless of others, where we all come together on our own platforms, and we pretty much call out the officiator of the WNBA constantly. Am I wrong, Coach Johnson?
No, you're not wrong at all. And because, the criticism isn't wrong either.
Because it's stupid how they cannot consistently call a game correctly. It makes no sense. Now, the Alyssa Thomas suspension, by the way. But they would have called a flagrant foul during the game. I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't have been mad either.
It has to be something, obviously. Mm-hmm. Because that's not normal.
No, no.
But for the league to go back and say, hey, you know, that's a flagrant two, and we have to suspend you for a game, which she was suspended for the Toronto Timberwolves game. Kathy Engelbert in the WNBA, you know what you're doing? This is what you're doing. And I'm pretty sure Coach Jones is going to pick this up and say what he has to say after I say this. You know what you're doing? You're being what I call reactive, which is the wrong thing to do because you're not being proactive. And I'm going to throw it back to Coach Jones.
That's the point I'm glad that Playmaker wanted to touch on. Because this is where you're at fault, WNBA. Boomer Esiason's wrong because he doesn't know as much about the WNBA as he does football. Football is his lane. That's where his bread is buttered. Now, he may be a sports fan, but he's not knowledgeable in everything. And unfortunately, with this take, it proves that he's not. But you, WNBA, this is where you're in the wrong. The protection of Caitlin Clark is one thing. Yes. You got to have better officiating on the court. And I'm sorry. I go back to Alyssa Thomas did not throw a punch. Her hand was in a fist and it was on the side of her neck. Yes. But she did not throw a punch. That's where the rubber does not meet the road, and it has to. If you're going to officiate these games, you got to do it in a manner in which people cannot call out the product looking as though it is being muddled, muddied, and dragged down, and you're saying to yourselves, wow, do we actually have officials on the court? And it's not even to the point where we need to have you blow more whistles. It's just we need you to be, you need these officials to be more vigilant. We don't need to have the officiating be something that is done in a boardroom across the Hudson River in New Jersey. You put three men, three women, or a combination thereof on the court to officiate these games. Supposedly, they have gone through rigorous training as to how to watch a game and officiate it in a judicious manner so that they don't miss something that is egregious. You won't have these things happen because you will have a better game overall. You'll have better referees. You'll have a more fluid way of playing.